Whenever you're ready, Lana. You ready? You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Dawn, and this is the laughing
Lana,
who won't stop laughing.
I don't know why.
I haven't even started drinking yet. And we're here with
Tim.
And
Steve, but not Lana's husband, Steve.
Yes, completely.
At least not yet.
Ooh, I like to see where this evening goes. And you're listening to another episode of Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age, and we improve with wine. And this is where we'd have a theme song, but we don't have
one. We don't have one. You know, we were going to get one. What's going on with that?
I have no idea. Hmm. Let's talk dirty about that person later.
Okay.
Anyways, so this theme is exciting because I don't know a lot about these types of wines, and Lana picked it for us this time.
Yes, ice wine. And actually, this started, I had had an ice wine at France in 44 tasting and loved it so much, didn't get a chance to get back there. So I went to my, you know, fallback position, which is big top liquors.
Right. I thought your fallback position was something else, but I was happy
well,
to
we
finish
were
the
go,
sentence.
Wait,
yeah.
Wait until we drink a little more and we'll talk about position. Okay, so what I got was a local wine, Winter Ice. The coolest, it's Winter Carnival.
Ooh.
So it's a local wine.
Neat.
And so I'm really interested in finding out if it's any good, because it's a local wine.
It is. It's called St. Paul Winter Carnival, too.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then I picked up Isis, because a former guest of ours, Ishmael, this is one of his favorite wines in the whole wide world.
Oh, my.
And so if Ishmael likes it, I can't wait to try it and then be judgmental.
Ooh, let's be judgmental.
So, Steve, I mean, so our guests, we have Tim Uren, who's a returning guest, which
yes,
we're excited
he is.
About. And then Steve Schroer is the first time with us, so we're going to let him pick the first bottle to open and try.
Well, before I choose the bottle, I've got to say that I have never seen two skinnier bottles of wine.
And we'll talk about that.
You will talk about
yes,
that.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
I'm kind of already disappointed with how small they are. But
oh,
that's okay.
You
that's
shouldn't
okay.
Be.
I
you
know,
shouldn't
but
be.
I already am. Okay, go on.
Well, I'm going to choose the bottle labeled Isis because I'm assuming that is the official wine of the Islamic State. And they're in the news these days.
Except for the fact that Muslims don't drink alcohol.
Well, there is that little
thing. That's okay. More for us, right?
Okay.
Right. Lana, I've already pulled off the top. Now Lana gets to
squeak, squeak, squeak. Yeah. Well, you know, this is setting us up for scary sounds, like squeaking
ooh.
Of the doors.
Ooh,
and we'll talk about scary things later, which
yeah.
hopefully will not be the wine.
No, I hope it's not. We already did the scary wine. Oh, wait, shh, shh, shh. Wait, here we go.
Nice. Oh, that was a nice one.
That is
I'm getting
beautiful.
Better at that.
Oh.
Our second favorite sound in the world.
Yes.
Here, why don't you take
the
and make
favorite.
Our first favorite sound in the world.
Woo-hoo. Oh. Oh. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh my goodness.
Now, this is challenging to pour such a small pour.
I know it is.
But, I mean, it's we're not supposed to have that much, which
well,
is going to be difficult.
Okay, so here's the deal, because I'm the nerd that I am, and I know a little bit about ice wine, so I did a little more research. So ice wine is...
Should we talk about this after we've tried it? Because it's sitting right here, and I'm not trying it, and it's really hard.
Okay, fine.
Okay, thank
I
you.
I can smell it.
Okay,
so first we like to see our wine, and we just like to describe its color and stuff. What do you think, Tim? How would you describe this?
Yellow.
As opposed to the last one, which was red.
It was, yes.
It was very red.
It was red.
Looks like apple juice.
It does look like apple juice. I don't want to be disgusting about it, but
it's a little, okay. little urine-ish colored.
Well, I mean, it's like...
But a healthy person's urine.
I don't know. I think they need to drink a little more water.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like when you get sunny side up eggs and you kind of have like the juicy sunny side, like they didn't cook it all the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that color. But I still want to drink this, even though that sounds disgusting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you sniff it.
Let's sniff this puppy.
Mm. Oh, wow.
I just smell the sugar.
Yeah. What do you think,
doesn't
Steve?
It smells like sweet white wine.
It does, doesn't it?
It doesn't smell like any particular fruit to me, though.
Uh-oh. Tim?
I was like, wine.
That's succinct. Remember when we were talking about one-word answers before starting this?
And then
and
like,
how great that is on a podcast.
Okay, let's give...
I was going to say it's supposed to be a wine glass, but that's not quite accurate.
Should we...
Let's try drinking this.
How about a toast?
Okay.
How about to the Twin City Horror Festival, which is coming up here in a couple of weeks, and we're going to talk some more about that.
Yay! Clink. I have to say clink.
You have to say
because
clink.
In our show, when people clink glasses, they say yes. Clink.
We always say clink. Okay.
Mind glasses.
Go ahead and take a sip of this guy. Really? Ooh.
Interesting.
I like it. It's slippery. Is slippery okay to say?
Yes.
It makes me think of certain things.
I don't know what it means, but it sounds okay.
It's like slippery.
How
on the tongue.
How dare you say slippery?
Say lascivious.
Ooh.
Because slippery is a lascivious word.
Okay, so one time, Steve, this is confessions time about Steve, when something, I don't know why we were talking about this, but when people were at the dentist, Steve asked me, I wonder if anyone has ever tried to make, like, lascivious gestures with their tongue towards their hygienist while they're getting their teeth cleaned. And I asked a girlfriend of mine who is a hygienist. I was like, has this ever happened to you? She's like, oh my god, no. That sounds awful.
I'm trying to think of what would have put you in the frame of mind to even wonder that.
When you're sitting in the dentist chair and you can't talk, it's like downtime, you know? So all kinds of stuff wanders through my head.
Oh, I believe
and
that.
I want to be clear, I wasn't thinking about caressing her fingers with my tongue in
well,
a lascivious manner. I was just wondering if anybody had ever tried it.
I think tongue gestures are difficult to interpret.
Really?
Still, if
a
tongue is
not.
Sure, fair enough,
if
yes.
you're working in somebody's mouth and their tongue is not staying put, you know, I think you're going to get the message pretty quickly.
But if you're just using your tongue to gesture, could you hand me that magazine?
That's... No, the tongue to sort of caress the fingers.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. That's really disturbing, Steve.
No, I think it's legitimate. That's a legitimate thought.
So slippery.
Yes, it's quite...
Lascivious.
Yes, I think the stuff is delicious, though.
I think it's very interesting. It hits the front of my tongue, and then it, like, just disappears. It never hits the back of my palate. And because we drink so much red wine.
Yeah, we do.
The back of my tongue is feeling left out.
Tim, do you primarily drink red or white?
White.
Okay. How does this compare to, like... And Steve, you primarily drink white, don't you?
Actually, I drank almost exclusively red for a very long time, but then my dentist, since we're talking about dentists tonight,
well, there's our
told me that red wine was possibly helping to stain my teeth, so
yeah,
I'm drinking more white wine these days.
Oh, well, that's a good choice. Now, how would both of you guys compare this to other white wines you drink, since Lana and I primarily
this is
drink
actually wandering closer to ciders.
Ooh.
I dare say.
Yeah, I could taste, now that you say that, I could taste a lot of apple in it. But it doesn't have that malty aftertaste that I don't like too much. How would you guys... Steve, what do you compare?
I don't have the vocabulary for describing what wine tastes like.
That's okay. But do you like it?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
I think I got shorted a little
bit. Lana's already going for her second small pour of Isis. Which apparently isn't small. Sorry.
Well, that one is huge.
Here you can pour it into mine. You know, again, I'm used to doing like pours of red. We're just goosh here.
Did we ever get an explanation of what ice wine is?
Yes, let's do that.
Let's. Okay.
I couldn't wait anymore. I'm sorry.
I know.
It smells so good.
I understand completely. And, you know, I'd rather drink wine than talk about it generally. But we're doing both.
Yay.
So, ice wine is... grapes that have been left on the vine, and they must freeze. Germany, Canada, and the United States have actual regulations about how cold it must be, depending on this, which country, between about 17 or 19 degrees is what it needs to be. And then they must be picked either that night or in the morning before the sun really comes out, because they need to be picked while they're still frozen. And pressed while they're still frozen.
Wow, that seems like a lot of work.
It is. And also, to stay on the vine until you get that cold a temperature, you could lose your entire crop to rot, or, you know, the fruit just falls off the vine, or, you know, animals and birds. So it's very, that's why it's so expensive also.
No, I'm kidding. This is the most expensive episode of Screw It, except for perhaps our Convergence episode. But those wines were awful.
They were terrible.
They were terrible. Okay, go on.
That cost was spiritual.
Oh. Boy, was it ever. Those. Oh, it hurt us all.
Anyway, so the reason it's so good is the water freezes. Mm-hmm. So the sugar, you know, there it's much more concentrated. It's... you don't end up with so much water in the wine.
Okay.
And the type of grapes that are used for this are high sugar grapes to begin with, often a Riesling or something like that.
Hmm.
And so that's why it's very, very expensive. You could lose your whole crop before it gets cold enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's very concentrated, so a little goes a long way. They're usually half bottles. That's why they're these tiny little cylinders. They look almost like, you know, they should... go in a gun barrel or something.
Or yeah, they should just have olive oil in them.
Yeah. and you go, and I don't know about you, mine was, I bought it long enough ago that I don't have the receipt anymore, somewhere between $40 to $43 for a bottle.
Yep.
Mine, you're kidding.
Mine was $36, wow. And I got it at Cubs.
And, yeah. Cubs. And this is, seriously.
Yeah.
But they're taking a huge financial risk
that makes
to
sense.
Do this. In fact, there was a winery that it had gotten so cold so fast, it got well below zero that night when they went out to pick the grapes, and they pressed them, and they broke their press.
Oh my god!
Because they was like pressing rocks. They were that hard.
So one of the questions I'm going to ask you, and I understand if you don't have the answer, is it can get too cold.
It can get too cold,
and you can also lose your entire crop because it just got too freaking cold.
Yeah.
That sucks. I mean, it's delicious, though. It's wonderful.
So, yeah, you have to do it just right at the right time.
Wow.
Which is why, Minnesota, what a great place. Well, and also, you know, we've tasted a lot of wines, Minnesota wines at the State Fair. And granted, they're getting better. In fact, we're going to Cannon Falls Winery tomorrow.
Oh, fun!
Yes. I'll have something to talk about at some other point about that.
Yay.
But you know, between the vines not being old enough and also the short growing season, it's tough to grow really good wine grapes here.
Oh, well, that explains a lot.
That's what makes this good.
So this almost seems like a dessert wine.
It is. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I caught up to the conversation.
So because of that, instead of our usual just plain almonds and plain bread. We do have plain almonds. Mm-hmm. We also have shortbread and pecans. Mm. So something just a little bit sweeter, a little more dessert-like to go with this.
That's cool.
So do you want to try drinking this with some food, perhaps?
Yes. I do love shortbread, even though it looks like the treats we used to feed my budgies, like super back in the day. So whenever I look at this, I think of budgies. But, you know, in the best way possible. So,
I haven't had shortbread.
So I guess you really couldn't make this kind of wine by the traditional method of having people stomping around barefoot in a vat.
And that'd be really painful.
And cold.
Of course, I really love shortbread. But
I love shortbread too, but I just stuck some in my mouth, so now I'm going to try some.
Okay, well, you tell us what you think about that.
I am good with this party.
Oh, gosh. Okay, now I need a pecan.
That's
with that.
Yummy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tim. Oh, that's really nice.
The pecans are okay. The shortbread, much better.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to try a pecan.
We have more shortbread, so.
Oh, good.
Here are the sound-baffling almonds of ye olde.
What do you think, Steve? You just try it with shortbread, right?
It tastes like shortbread, which is always good. Shortbread is one of the simplest things there is. It's basically just sugar, flour, and butter.
Mm-hmm.
I've made it myself.
Yeah.
It's nice.
I like it with a dessert wine because it's just to the sweet side of savory.
So
it doesn't fight with the wine, but it's still on the right side of the palate.
Yeah, this is yummy. Well, we've got really unique guests with us today, and we'll get more into that.
They're so unique.
So unique, and in the nicest way possible, use that term. Upcoming is the Twin City Horror Festival. It's going to be at the Southern Theater. It opens the...
October 23rd.
So here we have with us Tim Uren, who's one of the founders of it, which is sweet.
Yeah. To go with the wine.
To go with the wine. Yeah, it's very... This isn't horror wine, so I'm sorry, but that's okay. No. I think it's... The only horror about this wine is how small the bottles are.
And how expensive.
And then Tim is also producing, writing, acting in a show for it, because there's 9 companies involved.
Yes, which is more than previous years. We're very excited.
Really? And then Steve is with us from Hardcover Theater, because he is writing and directing a show, so this is just kind of a fun amalgamation of people to bring in. But let's hear a little bit more about the Horror Festival. How did you start it? When? Blah-de-blah.
The real people to blame for the Horror Festival.
And we'd like to wag our fingers.
Four Humors, 3 years ago, were really eager to do a horror-themed show called Harold, based on this children's story about a scarecrow that comes to life.
Oh. Hmm. I thought it was the Purple Crayon Kid for a second there.
Different kids.
I know, I was like,
different kind of horror.
I guess. It's like,
what's wrong with you? And the Southern was a really good spot for it, but the scope of that show and the size of the Southern and everything made it unwieldy to try to do that by themselves. So they had a wonderful idea of getting a hold of a bunch of other producers who would also like to do something horror-themed, myself included, and cooperatively put on a festival. And we had a great time, and it did really well, especially for a first-year festival. Yeah. So we did it again second year, yay, and we're far more organized and official this third year. And we're back again, and it's at the Southern Theater here in the Twin Cities, which is perfect for a horror festival.
It really is. I mean, if you've never been to the Southern, it's got this gorgeous, like, old, creepy archway that just has wonderful texture. And on top of that, I've just found out that the theater's haunted, right?
That is the story.
Tell us about the hauntedness.
I don't know about the hauntedness. Mike Fotis is the guest you need for that story. But there is a green room downstairs that has since been sealed off and people can't get to it these days.
Yeah, with all the construction and the redoing of it, if there's rooms that you can't get to anymore.
So I just assume there's stacks of bodies down there.
Oh, well, naturally. Ooh, yeah, yes. Yeah. I mean, and I've only heard stories from other people who are like, one of their actors was on stage, like, they're blah, 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 talking, and one of the actors on stage happened to see, like, this, like, orangish humanoid streak up by the sound booth, and flipped out entirely, like completely, like, I'm done, I need to leave. Wow. And I guess the person wears a top hat. I'm not sure about that. That's some of the rumors that I've heard. They wear a top hat.
So a pretentious actor.
Exactly. Why wasn't I cast in this show? I hate you. I'm gonna screw it up forever.
I know some actors like that.
Yeah. And so, Steve, this is your first time in the Horror Festival with Hardcover Theater.
It is, and I am very pleased.
Me too!
Me too!
Yeah! I mean, it's some really fun names to, you know, kind of hang your hat with, talking about hats still. you know,
new theme.
Yeah, really high-quality theater companies. And Tim, you were saying that, or maybe I heard that, or maybe you just said it, and I'm just going to say you said it, Tim. That the companies who were selected to join this were, it's based on reputation, it's based on quality, it's based on ba-di-da-di-da, right?
It is. It's also aiming at artists who have a certain experience, a certain pedigree, as it were.
Pedigree.
But not necessarily a space to call their own. So it's theater companies at a certain level of accomplishment that would benefit from having more venues and more opportunities to do shows like this festival.
And I'll tell you what, that's exactly why I'm so grateful, because I would never be doing a show in the Southern otherwise.
Southern's not a cheap space. It's not, but it's beautiful and it's fun to work in.
I mean, and to the credit of a lot of local theaters, they are making efforts to try to reach out to these theater companies.
Right, right.
But it's hard.
It is. And so it's 9 theater companies, and how many days does the Horror Festival span?
11, I think.
I'm not sure. That sounds good.
Sounds right.
The 1st of November?
23rd through the
2nd.
Thank you.
Yes.
Awesome.
And it's like, it's kind of run like the Fringe Festival, where there's multiple shows per night, so if someone shows up, they could see like 5 shows or something like that.
Yes. It's limited to only one venue as opposed to the Fringe Festival, which makes some things a little more convenient. Last year, and probably this year again, if you sit down beginning to end on a Saturday, you see almost all the shows.
That's so cool.
No!
And this year is different too, because there's like special things like The Bed That Eats or something.
Oh, yes, and there's late night movies.
Yeah, late night movies like at midnight or something.
Yes, which is a brand new thing for the Southern, awesome, which is cool that they have a bar now.
I know!
Which will debut with the Horror Festival.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, theater and bar, they go together, right? Am I right? Clinks on that one, everybody.
Yes.
Clink.
Should we talk about this wine?
Let's talk about this wine.
It's hard to tomorrow, but I taste mine.
Okay. Well, let's go and talk about our rating system first.
Yes.
Okay, we rate on a 1 to 5 basis, 1 being the lowest, 5 being the highest. 1 is I wouldn't drink it even if they were handing it out free at Renfest. And if you've listened to our Renfest episode, that is saying something pretty egregious.
Yep. Yeah, that's basically getting something from the Port-a-Johns, I think, at this point, Lana. Okay. and number 2, we would equate the wine to like a vinegar salad dressing.
Yeah. 3 is wedding appropriate wine, something that you get free at a wedding and you go, well, it's not my favorite, but that's fine. Whatever.
It's free. Right. Yeah. Drink away the pain. Yeah. Number 4, it's a bottle I wouldn't feel guilty drinking by myself.
Which different people interpret differently. Yep. I personally, if I'm going to drink a whole bottle by myself, it better be damn fine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And 5 is
I would tap that vintner's cask. Yes. Mm. So on a scale of 1 to 5, decimal points are okay. 1's obviously the worst. 5 is awesome.
Yeah.
Steve, how do you feel about this wine?
Well, again, I don't claim to have any great subtlety in my palate.
Doesn't matter.
Considering I know how much you paid for the wine, I'm gonna give it a 5, and I suspect I will give the other one 5 too.
No. Yeah. So you would happily make love to the vintner who created this wine as like a thank you.
No.
What if it was a female and attractive?
My wife's permission. Okay.
Always assuming that this is in a dream world where at some point. You're not married, so it's okay to do that.
And vintners are this
world's hot.
Yeah, super sex symbol. Okay. So you'd still give it a 5?
Yes, absolutely. I give it a 5.
Nice. Tim, what do you think?
When I was here previously, I was pretty free with the 5s. I think I'm going to try to be a little more realistic about my numbers that are happening. I'm going to say a 4.5. While this is a delicious wine, I would never just sit down and drink like 5 glasses of this because I'd have diabetes.
It is pretty sweet.
Yeah, it is.
And I would have had more. I might have that would be like 2 bottles of it to have 5 glasses. That's not entirely true, but close.
Yeah, that's complete legit. Lana, what do you think?
You know, well, white wines, even though sweet white wines are not always my favorite, and there's something about it not hitting the back of my palate that's sort of bothering my taste buds. And so I'm leaning at sort of a 3.2, although it is much better with the shortbread to have something soak it up.
Yeah. It's just too light for you, is that what you're saying?
Or? I don't know. There's something missing, and I don't know if it's just... I don't know what... I can't describe it.
It's very good at one thing, but not a jack of all trades at all.
Mm-hmm. Ah, there you go. That's an interesting description.
It's slippery.
It's slippery. It's a slippery wine.
Lascivious.
Now,
I think it might be a little tart, actually. It starts out sweet and then goes tart.
Hmm.
And my tongue is like, wait, you just changed the rules on me.
Yeah, screw you. I hate you.
Huh.
Yeah.
Now, how about you?
I like it. I mean, and I'm happy that Ishmael likes this wine so much because since I like it, it means that I can respect Ishmael now.
And that's the only reason. It's
really the only reason.
That'd be weird and different.
Nothing to do with all the work he does at Con.
No, of course not. But I think this is yummy. I have to agree with Tim. I definitely couldn't drink an entire bottle by myself, but I could buy this and over a course of maybe 2-3 days, drink it all by myself and not feel bad about that. So I can easily give this a good 4 and be really happy with that rating and just feel really comfortable with it.
There you go.
Nice. Nice then. All right. Should we pop open the next one?
Oh, God, yes.
Yes. If you want to knock yours back, Steve, like I'm going
I
to,
will.
We have some water. You can rinse out your glasses. And so you got this at Big Top, you said?
Big Top Liquors. Mm. On a Friday night, so it was exciting.
Is Tim having problems?
I'm fine.
Tim's spilling. Sure. But it's only water, so it's okay. It's okay. If it was anything else, we'd have an issue.
Well, good thing it wasn't a red wine.
Oh, it was just water. So okay. You got this at Big Top, and this is the St. Paul
Winter Carnival.
Cool. Do you guys go to St. Paul Winter Carnival?
Never been.
Used to.
Really? Why don't you go anymore, Steve?
It's boring.
Yeah. See, my answer is it's cold, so yeah. I don't want to go.
Cold and boring. All right.
Well, and to be honest, those kind of Vulcans don't do anything for me.
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, elves!
No, the Vulcans. Have you not heard of...
The little red dudes?
No, what? Yeah, the guys that dress up and they, like, try to kiss women.
What?
And, yeah.
You know that?
No!
Oh, dearie.
It was a big scandal a few years ago.
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that this should come up because a few years ago, I don't even know how many, I was supposed to direct the ceremony thing that they have that goes along with the Winter Carnival.
Huh.
It's the same organization that that sponsors the Vulcans, and I found them just impossible to deal with, so I quit.
Good for you.
Well, they weren't paying me. Well, and they weren't. Right. And they weren't.
It's not like you had a contract.
They weren't replying to my messages, mm-hmm, so I thought, mm-hmm, you know, why am I doing this?
There's no good reason.
It's a strange thing, though. It's like, you would think that that sort of thing would be a charitable organization, but it's not.
It's not, no. Mm-hmm.
No, it's like business networking.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's and how it
the
started.
Vulcans, in particular, seem to have taken it as a license to get drunk and grabby, yeah, on the streets of St. Paul.
It started out as businesses in St. Paul, especially downtown St. Paul, to get people out in the middle of winter when nobody wants to go anywhere and come
that's
downtown.
Me.
And,
yeah.
And see their businesses and all this kind of stuff and, you know, the Snow Queen and all that. But I don't know. I think one of our first years here, I think, was a really warm winter and all the ice sculptures melted right away. And it just...
Oh, poo.
Although they do have ice skating down there.
They do.
Yes.
But you can't, like...
But you have to,
if
like,
I remember right,
skates.
It's very, very small. And if I went more than, like, 3 feet, I'd probably take out 3 children.
So they wouldn't allow me. Come on. Okay, let's pour this, baby. I will say, it is in the most beautiful cobalt blue bottle.
It is.
It's
awesome.
As tiny as this bottle is.
It's tiny. That's okay. It still counts.
There.
Ooh. Now, we have a different color, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, what color do you say this is?
Light yellow.
I would say this is the urine of an even healthier person.
I would think I would have to agree with that description of it being slightly healthier.
I would say it was a light amber. It's
sure.
More amber than yellow.
Yeah, it's lighter than... This would be like apple juice that pissed me off because someone added too much water to it and it's not going to taste like anything good anymore.
Well,
does that count?
Here.
And we have more shortbread.
We have more shortbread, so you're going to hear crinkle, 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 crinkle.
It's the sound of the shortbread coming out of the package.
No, it's the guy at the folding table.
Alrighty. So let's give it a smell.
Ooh, I like this one.
Oh, I like this already. This,
yeah.
This one has more oomph.
It has more flour smell, like flowers,
so.
Not like flour baking. But what do you think, Steve?
I can smell it, yep. Yeah.
Steve is turning into Tim.
Tim, what do you think of the smell of this wine?
I do agree. There's more going on here than the previous one.
Any other thoughts of like what might be going on? Is it a disco? Is it a ballet? Is it
a disco buffet going on in this glass? I think.
Is it a Vulcan parade?
A molesting Vulcan parade.
This glass is drunk and grabby.
Oh, well, as long as it's grabbing the right things, like my uvula.
See, I think that's the real problem. Now, if those Vulcans were all, say, I don't know, firefighters in their 20s,
oh.
I think perhaps there wouldn't be so many problems. But generally speaking, they're older, bigger businessmen that women don't necessarily want to be manhandled by.
Oh.
So it's not a lovely thing.
That's a
Have you ever eaten anything that was still alive that grabbed onto your uvula as you were trying to take it down your throat?
I do believe God
held on
will do that.
In an attempt to...
No. Have you, Steve?
No.
Tim? Do we have another idea for Horror Festival now?
No, but if that were to occur, I would probably gesture with my tongue and call for assistance.
No! Timing is everything, isn't it? Oh god, I think that was shortbread going into my sinuses.
Okay.
The international gesture for someone's grabbing my uvula.
Alright, should we toast? Let's toast to uvulas.
And the horror that they could
clink.
Clink.
Give it a try. It smells so good.
Interesting.
Tim, what do you think?
I like it. It's not as purely sweet as the other one.
Oh, wow.
It kicks in a lot.
I think he's right about that.
Yeah. Ah, this one's neat. This one has
Excuse me, I'm still choking. This one has, it has that yummy sweetness, and then it kind of has a little bit of dryness at the end.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have that nasty malt flavor either, like when we discuss it, you know, compared to ciders.
And that's, a good ice wine is supposed to have an absolute balance between sweetness and acidity.
Mmm. Mm.
So, yeah, I think I could drink a bottle of this.
Oh, definitely. And I think this one is better than Ishmael's Isis. So, Ishmael, you still suck.
but yeah, this one's nummy.
This one's interesting.
Oh, so I'd love to hear a little bit about both of your guys' shows in the festival. So, mm-hmm. Steve, if you want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Sure. My show is called The Surgeon.
Bomb, bomb, bomb. Okay, that's
and what I will give you three
guesses. No, but there are sound effects in the show.
Clink.
As to the occupation of the main character.
I think he makes ice wine.
He should make ice wine.
By tromping it with his bare feet, yes. No, he's a surgeon. He's a surgeon. He's an orthopedic surgeon in a big city hospital. His wife, who is a pediatrician, also works there. And one day their lives are sort of turned upside down by the arrival of a mysterious figure from the past. A psychiatrist, a woman they went to med school with and got to know her at that time. And since then, which was maybe 10, 15 years ago, they've heard nothing of her. But suddenly she's back, she's working at their hospital, and she has an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure how far to go with this, but I think I'm telling people what the basic deal is, so I'm going to do that.
Okay, that's up to you. I just keep telling people the show gets worse and worse.
It does.
It just keeps getting worse in ways you can't expect it to get worse.
We're not going to do much of the worsening. We'll just get it started. The psychiatrist specializes in working with patients who suffer from something called body integrity identity disorder, which is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
I learned about it some years ago, and then I researched it before I wrote the play. Just as you or I, or people who don't have BIID, would feel that if we lost a limb, we would be somehow incomplete, and it would be just kind of wrong not to have a hand or a leg. Sufferers from BIID feel the opposite way. They feel that it's wrong to have a certain portion of their body, and they want it removed. And this is a problem because pretty much everywhere in the world, surgeons are not authorized to remove healthy limbs.
Mm-hmm.
So the patients, with the advice of their psychiatrist in some cases, must resort to subterfuge of various kinds. And let's just say that in The Surgeon, we start by bringing in a patient who resorts to a rather dramatic subterfuge right there on stage in front of the audience.
With a hammer.
And after that, there's no getting out for the surgeon because he's done something that compromised him. And that's
with
when,
a hammer.
And that's when, as Dawn says, it just keeps getting worse.
It gets awful. It is one of the first scripts I've ever read where I vocalized out loud on two occasions where I was like, what? Yeah, it actually really, it's an amazing script. It's an amazing story. And it's done in that classic hardcover style of, like, no props, no set.
And a chorus. We always have a chorus in my shows. In this one, it's a chorus of surgeons.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Who else is, besides, of course, yours truly, Dawn's in the show and so is Lana.
Yep.
But who else is in your show?
Well, the surgeon himself is played by Ed Linder. And then we have a couple of stellar supporting roles as patients featuring...
Cody
Stewart. Oh, actually, Lana's one of the other
patients.
And then, I'm sorry, the surgeon's wife, the pediatrician, is Ariel Leaf.
Yay, Ariel.
And then the chorus of surgeons are Phil Henry and Sabrina Kendriva.
It's fun.
It is so fun.
It's a nice show. I am sure people will really...
Nice?
Yes. Like, nice in that...
In that twisted,
yeah,
dark,
like I'm really
I can't believe
this.
They went there.
Yeah, kind of way. Yeah, it's really quite lovely. And then Tim's show, now that he just took a drink.
So yes.
Perfect
yes.
time.
Something's got my
My show is more towards a blend of comedy horror called The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Jekyll.
Yay!
Wow!
It is a restaging of a show that I did a couple years, 3 years ago, some years ago at the 2011. Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
Yes, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a four-person show, including myself and Dawn. Yay. And Amy Schweikart and Joshua Scrimshaw. Mm-hmm. It is the story of a Victorian doctor, as might be expected, named Dr. Jekyll, who creates a potion that will transform a person into this horrible, monstrous thing. Except he's not the one who takes it. He takes the decongestant. He accidentally gives it to his maid, and she becomes this monstrous person who is now wandering through the streets of London, violently seeking what she wants, which in this case is education and status.
How dare she?
How dare she? Exactly. And then Dr. Jekyll runs around thinking he's taken this horrible potion.
Yeah, like, see, I, in the advertisements, with all the fury a meek chemistry professor can muster.
Is it sort of a placebo effect then?
Yes.
Yeah, and but it's fun. It's got a lot of poignancy to it. And
it's very sweet.
Isn't it as sweet as this wine?
You know,
it's sweeter.
It'd be a good partner for this wine.
It really would. It's just so sweet and touching at the end. And what's cool is both shows have a really nice message to them. Yes, yours does too, Steve.
It's a terrible message.
Yes, but
mine has an awful message. It's the last line of
the
show.
The chorus is absolutely awful.
Hammers solve everything.
Yes. And scene. But I think they're both funny. It's, well, I mean, like, the surgeon is obviously, don't compromise yourself.
Yeah.
Duh.
Once you go down the wrong path, sometimes it's hard to get off that path.
Right. It's hard to get your way back. But,
Yes,
that's Lana reaching for a fruit fly. Yeah, that's okay. That's what happens when you have all this sweet wine.
And if she caught it, she would have eaten it like Renfield, but she didn't catch it.
Well, see, I've been, you know, kind of going down that dark path just for this show.
Aww.
Because, you know, there's just no dark twisted in me otherwise.
Right. So, I mean, both shows are going to be fantastic, and I'm confident all the other shows at the Horror Festival are going to be fantastic. But what I'm excited about particularly with our guests is that we have writers and directors mm-hmm. in the same bodies. So what's, like, the challenge of writing a horror and directing it, or what's the disappointment, or what's the fun part, or...
I think one of the challenges is that people are accustomed to seeing or experiencing horror on TV or in film, and those media have a lot of tools to shock and surprise and scare people that you can't do on stage.
Like what?
Jump cuts.
Yeah.
Sound effects. You can do sound effects on stage. It's not the same, really.
No, it's not.
CGI.
It's hard to actually truly become a werewolf with fur and such.
Mm-hmm.
But stage has some advantages that TV and movies don't. The audience is, it's a very immediate experience for the audience.
Oh, that's true.
So the challenge is to use your strengths and downplay your weaknesses, I guess.
So that's why you cast me. Okay.
Yes.
Of course. No, that makes perfect sense, though.
I've got to thank you, Tim, for, I'm assuming that Ariel Leaf, who's in my show now, of course, was in your
Fringe show, yes.
Fringe horror show. In which she suffered terrible things and made terrible noises.
Yes.
And now I'm having her do it, and she's really good at it.
She's really good at it.
You want horrible noises, you ask, you know, talk to Ariel Leaf, because she will give them to you.
It was so funny, because when we first started out, she said, you know, I can't really do like a classic horror scream. That's not what I'm looking for, and what she had to offer was so much more horrible.
It really was. Yeah, that was delicious.
If you want a classic horror scream, you get an 18-year-old girl. Because that's what you're looking for.
Or a 15-year-old boy.
One or the other.
And there you go.
Yeah, one or the other.
But, and then maybe, like, stepping outside of the horror genre, what is, like, the most rewarding part or the most difficult part of writing, directing, and, like, seeing your stuff on stage, and you're like, oh my god, I didn't mean that at all. This damn actor is totally screwing it up. Or,
yeah.
I know, for me, for writing, being done is awesome. Because then you can enjoy, like, I feel like I've written this well, and I'm proud of it,
mm-hmm.
and it still exists, and I'm doing something with it, but I don't have to work on it anymore as a writer.
So, like, even when you're in rehearsals for something you've written, and you're just like, crap, what was I thinking? Let's rewrite this section? Or
is it just,
at that point,
so
I'm not done writing
it
yet. But, yeah,
oh,
when I feel like I'm done writing, then it's a really good feeling.
What do you think, Steve?
Well, you've heard me complain often enough, so we'll complain to the podcast audience.
Heard you complain.
So you haven't. That's true.
Please complain in my direction.
Lack of resources. There are a lot of things I could do if I had money that I can't without.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's life, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drinking ice wine all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right?
You know,
I'd be bathing in it. What?
Be interesting. Shortbread.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if we drank ice wine at every rehearsal.
Oh, no, that's a great part about Dr. Jekyll rehearsals. Not only are there two kitties and a puppy, but they're still trying to get rid of all their wedding wine. So as you come in, would you like a glass? Yes. It's like, I don't even know how I'm going to do this show without a glass of wine. It's like, it'd be this, like, sensory memory thing. Like, I don't remember my blocking. Here's a glass of wine. I remember it now.
But it's totally professional. People coming to the show should expect a high level of...
The actors will be drunk, but they'll still be getting the job done.
Well, how is that different?
It's not different at all. But so then, let's talk about Lana for a little bit here, because
I totally planned this every single time. Suck.
I do. But so Lana's in The Surgeon, mm-hmm. and she's playing a fantastic role.
Mm.
But without telling too much, because you can't tell too much. But you play a patient with BIID.
I play a patient.
Yes, you do.
I definitely do.
Yep.
She's not your typical patient. Mm. She's not my typical role, which has really been a joy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember coming out of the audition with Steve and calling you and going, that was so much fun.
Yes.
That was just so much fun.
What is your typical role?
Oh, God.
You have a typical role?
Not necessarily a typical role, but I often play...
Older sister. Aunt.
People who are a little sweeter and more caregivers, or except for not.
No, I'm thinking about all the shows we've done together, and I don't remember you in any type of role like that.
You know, so a lot of them tend, not ingenues, but obviously. But they're not. They may be like Lulabelle, who's kind of a body drinker. But usually they're on the sweeter side of the scale. Hmm. And so I get to be a little less than that.
Oh, quite a bit. Quite a bit less than that.
I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
You're doing wonderful.
I mean,
it's really lovely.
It's so much fun to go, finally, I get to explore that part. And yeah, hopefully I get to do more of that kind of stuff, because I have never been able to have that much fun.
That's so cool.
And just go, how far can I take? And I just look at Steve, and Steve just goes, okay. All right, let's go.
Oh, that's lovely. And Tim, when you're writing, and you know you're going to be in a show, do you write it with like your own voice in mind, or do you just, that just natural? Or when you are, and it's a great question for the two of you, if you know you're going to cast a certain person, do you write with that person's voice in your head?
Yeah.
I know I'm going to have a certain person, then yes. But I think more often I don't know than I do.
I do write with my cast in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because I'm a really last-minute person. I usually have a cast before I have a script. But I find that having the cast helps get the script written. Partly because they're standing there glaring at me.
Give me the damn lines! I have to admit, this is the first time we've stepped into a hardcover show where the script has been written.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, there's been other shows where it's like, wait, here's the last two pages of the show, and it's 3 days before we open. So
thank you for
that. Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but
Pollyanna was Pollyanna.
I got the ending for Pollyanna, and the endings are usually what hang me up.
Yeah, and Scary.
It was like a week before we opened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Scary Gents 2. I mean, I think you gave.
It was like two pages. A couple of minutes.
Yeah,
what's the problem?
It was a professional.
Like
show
the first up. Rehearsal of a show I'm working on is here's the first half of the script. At some point, we'll receive the second half.
It's fantastic and it's fun. But that's really interesting.
And Dawn is doing a fabulous job as well.
Oh yeah.
Finally got to see you the other night. I was like, oh, it's wow.
Fun. You should have seen her the other night. When we finally did the ending.
Oh, yes. Man. Oh, and there is a me on top of Ariel scene, just in case you guys wanted to know. Yeah. That might just really sell tickets right there.
Now I'm jealous.
Well, I mean, everyone was taking a turn on top of Ariel eventually, especially when it came to the fight choreography. So, yeah.
I hope Ariel isn't listening to this.
Well, I think Ariel would be pretty
She'll be proud.
Everybody was excited for a chance.
No. I suppose I shouldn't feel so bad, seeing as I got to kiss you in the last show.
I know. That's whatever it is. Well, speaking of kissing, should we talk about kissing our wine?
Oh, whatever's yes. And let's yes. try it with a shortbread, because yeah. That is... Wow.
Mm-hmm. Shortbread is good.
And then...
What, do you like it with the shortbread?
You know what? It doesn't open it up as much as it does with the other wine. I think there's just so much more going on with this wine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I certainly don't hate it.
No.
In the shortbread, but it doesn't need it.
It doesn't need it. I agree with that. What do you think, Steve?
Tim said, which was, I think, yeah.
Yeah, Tim's one-word answer was there. That's cool. I think it's lovely. Should we rate this puppy?
Let's rate this.
One is I wouldn't give it away if they were drinking it free at Renfest. Five is you would tap that vintner's cask. I think Steve.
Steve, you think? You're up.
Give a wrong answer.
I think I already foreshadowed my answer.
You did. But you might have changed your mind.
No, actually, I actually do agree with you folks that this is better than the first one. And since I give that one a five.
You can give it a six.
All right, I'll give it a six.
Five plus, whatever.
Yeah, that's cool. Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, give this a five. It's good.
These are the writers, folks.
Come see their shows.
Apparently, they're more comfortable when they're at a keyboard. Extemporaneous, maybe not so much.
Yeah, maybe
not
so much.
But there was some suspense, right? You didn't know what to say.
Yeah. It's white. I don't know.
I'm going to interrupt.
Oh, yes.
And tell you a small story.
Please do.
Because up to this point, you would have only known me as someone who's like, wine is good. I like wine. But my wife and I, not too long ago, went on our honeymoon in San Francisco.
Yay!
It was lovely. We went to Napa, which is like a whole bunch of stories to tell you, because Napa was awesome. We got to our hotel in San Francisco. The hotel was awesome. They had lots of nice restaurant recommendations for us.
Mm-hmm. And they if asked you us, are hearing random noises, it's because, is it Sinja who's finally eating dinner?
Sinja finally got brave enough to come down here
and
in the kitchen.
Dinner. Okay, yeah, so it's not Tim making weird noises.
It's not Tim eating the cat food.
Not this time. Okay, I'm sorry, Tim, go on.
They asked us, welcome to San Francisco, what are you doing here? This is our honeymoon. Would you like a complimentary bottle of wine?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, fantastic. And for the first time in my life, we had a bottle of wine that I thought, this tastes terrible.
Oh, no. What was
that? I can't remember. And it's like, I don't want to... The point of the story is not to shame anyone.
Oh, no. I just
but it's just like, wow. I encountered wine I don't want. Amazing.
Was it red, white?
It was white.
Yeah.
Whites, I think, can go
bad
wrong
really
so
fast.
Especially California whites because of the minerality of the soil.
God.
I'm going to get on that soapbox.
I knew it was going to happen. It's not an episode of Screw It without it.
I like their cabs.
Yes, I like their cabs
and
too.
And all that being said, in Napa I had some incredible wines. But,
yeah.
But
that wasn't... That was
that
not
is
it.
Not,
that set your bar really low.
Mm-hmm. So one is now, I wouldn't drink it if they were giving it away free on my honeymoon. So thank you, Tim. I appreciate
it. So the scale has been recalibrated.
So my fives now have a little more weight than just like, it's wine.
So this is a... Did you give this one a number?
I did give this a five.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
I'm sorry. I interrupted before.
No.
We interrupt all the time. Yeah. And you interrupt me. You're a guest. You can interrupt me.
Yeah, if I interrupt her, though, boy.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay, so Lana.
You will.
I will, and I do.
And you'd enjoy it.
I do.
You know, this is really weird because I like it about the same amount as the other one. This has more acid and more going on. There isn't slightly odd aftertaste.
Odd in a bad way or odd in
odd
a good
in
way?
Odd in a... I'm not sure that I'm thrilled with it. So I'll give it a 3-2. Which is not like 3-2 beer.
No, sweet God, no. No, anyways.
How about you, Donnie?
I like this. I like this better than the Isis. I'm going to say that. You know, and this one, I could easily... make love to a vintner over this one. So
really?
I give this one a five. I really, really enjoy it.
Oh my god.
It makes me very, very happy. And
I'm so glad that I could buy you a wine that made you that happy.
Yeah, this one wins. I mean, you usually pick out good wines though. It's super yummy. So between...
We all have to have our talents.
Between the two wines, Tim, which one is your favorite?
The Winter Ice.
Yeah.
Which is not to disparage Isis, it's just I like Winter Ice better.
Yeah, Isis is a goddess, so don't piss her off. Okay, Steve, what do you think?
Yes, as I already said, I also prefer the Winter Ice. And I'm guessing I can speak for Tim as well as for myself when I say we're honored to have been served such expensive wines.
Yeah.
It makes us feel like we're kind of special to you guys.
Well, you are special. Okay, I think that deserves another clink.
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 Clink. Clink. Clink.
You need more wine there, Steve.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
Lana, do you have a preference? I don't.
Mm.
I seriously don't.
This has to be a screw at first.
It is.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that they're white.
Yeah.
I mean, well, yeah, that is definitely a screw at first. Yeah, I don't. I'd like to explore some more ice wines in the future and, mm-hmm. and some more.
Especially like the, I mean, I was tempted to pick up like an ice wine with like raspberry or something, but I didn't know if that was too crazy for our first ice wine
that's
experiment.
So crazy. Yeah, I don't know if I could take that kind of level of insanity.
I vote for winter ice. I think that one's my favorite. Again, I think Ishmael is wrong. About the ISIS, and I think winterized wins between the two of them. Although I wouldn't turn ISIS down.
No,
they're both incredibly delicious wines.
Plus, the winter ice gives me the mental images of the Vulcans running down the streets trying to grab women.
and that's always good for wine.
That's better. I mean, the ISIS gives me images of people getting their heads cut off, and I don't like that at all.
Or coming back to life.
Now, see, I played ISIS in the Golden Ass, and I liked being ISIS.
Ooh.
Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Being a goddess. That's totally true. That's
well,
true.
Like you don't.
It's true.
Well, anyways, we've been drinking Isis, Alexis Bailey Vineyard, and Winterize, the coolest celebration on Earth, St. Paul Winter Carnival, a Minnesota white wine. Our guests today were Tim Uren and Steve Shore. You guys are great. Thank you.
Fabulous.
Thank you.
And we're very excited about the Twin City Horror Festival, which starts October 23rd and goes through November 2nd at the Southern Theater. You can buy big passes.
You can go to tchorrorfestival.com or .org.
Or Facebook.
Yeah.
And you can look it up there. And so you can buy like Ultra passes or the equivalent of an Ultra pass.
Yes. Or 6-punch pass or 4-punch pass.
Yay! And there's going to be booze served. Yay! So we're super excited about that. So look forward to see The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Jekyll and The Surgeon at the Twin City Horror Festival.
Otherwise, you've been listening to Screw It.
A podcast about
mostly wine.
Mostly wine, and then horror festival stuff. Wine improves with age. We improve with wine. What's going to be our next theme, Lana?
Well, I chose the ice wine, so it's your turn,
darling.
You did. Make it good.
I say wine from Africa.
Are you effing kidding me?
I say wine from the moon.
I think we should do African wines.
Alrighty then. We'll do African wines.
African wines. I think this would be very interesting.
Are we going to say just Africa, or are we going to say white or red? Or
well,
whatever
I'm obviously going to lean towards red. But
yeah,
I mean,
okay, good. Me too.
Okay, African reds then is going to be our next theme.
Holy crap.
What
the hell?
So thank you for listening to Screw It, a podcast about wine. Find us on Facebook because there's so much of us there. Yay. Theme song. Theme song. This is our closing theme song.
We need a real song.
We'll get one eventually.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.